And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 857. We're here to recap your week 11 fab across the NFBC OCs and main events. And we're still spending money out there, which is pretty crazy because usually you see a downward trend and eventually we'll have to. So one of these weeks, it'll either be a sharp decline or we might finish with zero leftover dollars for once compared to years past. In order to help me break down the week 11 action and much, much more is my co-host every Monday, sometimes Tuesdays, to recap the fab and much, much more. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T, the kid. Ben Tidd, how we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, Bubba. Yeah, we had a pretty big spike, at least in the main event this past week, week 11, compared to week 10 and even week 11 in 2025. And I'm sure we'll dig into that. But the OC went up a little bit as well. And it's probably no surprise that Jared Jones was the contributing factor to the increased spending we saw this past weekend.
Yep. Jared Jones had his lasting impact. Couple outliers really spiked the bidding, but as a whole, still plenty of money spent there. A lot of pitching this week, good, bad, or ugly. A lot of pitching taking place this week. So before we get into talking to a bunch of players, as we tend to do, Ben, why don't you let the listeners know what we are looking at here, as Ben and I will reference, you know, the NFBC page ad drops a lot, but we also reference the sheet that Ryan Bloomfield made, the NFBC Fab Tracker, that you can get on the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and it's got the year-to-date spending. It's got bids and much, much more. So, Ben, what are we looking at when you mentioned we did spend this week? How are things lined up through 11 weeks?
All right, yeah, Bubba. So the first thing I'll cover is the remaining balance on average per team. In the OCs, we're at $412 left on average. Last year at this time, it was $446 through 11 weeks. In the OCs this week, the managers spent an average of $41 compared to $33 in 2025. And the 41 was also up from 35 last week. So in the OCs, we're about $30 ahead of spend in terms of balance per team remaining. And then in the main event, even more drastic spending. So the balance now is $405, a little bit less than the OCs, but the 405 compares to $443 in 2025, so almost $40 less on average per team remaining. And then there was a bit even bigger spike in spending in week 11 for the main events, $58 per team on average. That was up from $35 in week 11 in 2025, so more than $20 more, and it was up from $13 last week, week 10. And this kind of so the 58 spike compared, if we had a couple more years, it'd be a little easier to see trends. But compared to 2025, week 12, so the upcoming Sunday is when we had $58 on average. I'm not sure who off the top of my head who was brought up that week, but really the Jared Jones return from injury is really what, especially in the main event, drove that increased price. And more teams in the OCs and some this other dynamics led to it only being $41 there on average. But the 58 in the mains, I think, is heavily driven by him and a lot of pitchers. So Melton's right there, Gage jump, Sandlin, more Melton and Jones were the contributors though in the main event for sure.
Yep, they were the main culprits there. And as you mentioned, last season in weeks 12 and 13 in the mains and the OCs, a lot more spending, as it appeared the last 2 weeks would have been low going, not so much. But after week 13, we're going to recap 11. We're in week 12 starting on Monday. But after week 13, about the midway point, things start to drop off rather quickly. And by like week 16, 17, you're really dropping things off, which makes sense because if you think about it, Ben mentioned it's on average $405 in main events per team, $412 on OCs. Everyone's on average has spent about 60% of their budget in the first 11 weeks of the season. So that stands out in a big way, like a little over a third of the season. 60% of the budget's gone. So early spending, early and often, which makes sense, is you want to get the most impact long-term as you can, but there will be some dropping off coming up here. So go get your guys. I just like going through those numbers because it keeps telling myself every year, make sure you spend early because you need to. Everyone else is, and it's going to be easier as the season goes on. Like you still want money to kind of make sure you win your picks, but you don't need as much money to win your picks, if that makes sense. All right,
real quick, Bubba. I'll just mention I mentioned to you briefly before we recorded. Yep. This so the listeners can hear this as well. So we mentioned the remaining balance of so we're at 412 in the OCs, 405 in the mains. It was 446. We'll say like 440 for both contests last year. The OC going into week 27 or at the end of week 27 last year had $118 left. And then the main event at the end of week 27 last year had $81 left. So I think that if we were to take 120 in the OCs off of the 440, you're at 320. If you take 80 off the 440 in the main, you're at 360. I would say the 320 and the 360, well, that was for last year. So looking at last year at this time, it'd probably be more like 320 in the OCs remaining and 360 in the main event remaining. And that's for like the active managers, because we'll get to that eventually as the weeks go on. But if you're a Patreon member for Bubba and the Bloom, you can see how small the spending gets, even though the remaining balance doesn't quite get there in the last weeks. So we're at 412 down the OC, take 120 off. Maybe we're at like $300 for active teams left. And then if you look at the main event, take the 80 that was left last year off the 400 this year, maybe we're at 320 remaining in the main event. So if you're not at 400, if you have less than $400 left in the OC or the main event, you're probably not in bad shape, because there will be dead teams that kind of skew the numbers as the season goes on.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's why, again, like I had the Guilds on last week, and he's known to be a heavy spinner. He might be more aggressive than most, but there's a reason he can get away with it. Is now, as the season goes along, like especially in OCs, so many guys give up. I've been joking about the last few weeks, there's already been a bunch of no backup bid plays, like through over half of the bids probably in each league I'm in. And that just gets worse as the season goes along. So you can get a lot of anywhere from $1 to $5 players, pretty simple. Like, it doesn't take much. And I've never done the AC. AC seems like it's staying competitive. I still have a bunch of no runner-up bids, but I guess because waterfalls are so long in those right now. Main events, you'll see some football starts, folks. And people start saying, I'm out. And there's a group of people that only want to win the overall. Okay, there's some people that want to win their leagues. I always go for my leagues, and you know, if overall comes into play, great. Has never come into play, but I've won some leagues, and that's all I care about. So I will fight to the end to make it happen. Not everybody has that mindset, so we will see how that continues to play out each and every week. And you'll see a lot more shows where there was a lot of times last year where Ben and I would recap the players added for like half an episode, and then we do something else. Right now, Fab's been big enough to use a full episode on recapping Fab, but pretty soon that's going to dry up, I have a feeling. And we're going to start talking about some other strategies, some remaining schedules, and all that good stuff that we do on this show. But let's get into it. The player that made the most damage this week in the NFBC, that was Jared Jones, as you mentioned earlier, Ben. Jared Jones has picked up in 216 online championships, as high as 372, as low as $3, though. That's a beaut. Average of 154. The 75th percentile was 194, so majority of them went for below $200. There were obviously some outliers. In the main events, Jared Jones added in 41 mains, already rostered in 19 others, as high as 277. Now, this is where you can tell the difference between a main event and an OC, folks. The minimum was 155 in the main event, which is huge. Average was 247. Max was 432, sorry, not 277. So some people got a little wild. 75th percentile was 277. So most of them went from 155 to 277. Regardless, lots of spending, Ben, as we know. We were trying to talk in, you know, off air via text and everything, that Jones, the stat line, 5 earned, 4 and a third, doesn't look ideal, but 6 Ks over those 4 and a third, swinging strike was great. He looked good, looked really good. What was your thoughts heading into this week when it comes to attacking Jared Jones via Fab?
Well, my first thought was that I was too poor to afford him. And it's kind of how things played out, unfortunately, for me. But I think everyone knows that Jared Jones is a pretty big prospect. And he debuted in 2024, missed all of last year with the Tommy John surgery, I believe, or internal brace, whatever it was. And so we don't have much to go off of. So you mentioned his start was a little rocky when he returned. But I'll just quickly note some of the good underlying numbers that came with that start. He had a 19% swing strike rate, 19.5 to be exact. He got unlucky with a BABIP, it was 455. Left on base is only 64.5%, so both are unlucky there. His K-minus walk was almost 20%, it was 19. Jared Jones only had a 31% ball rate, despite the 9% walk rate in that start, so a little unlucky there. An O-swing of 45.2, that's very good. And the only thing, I guess it kind of ties into the BABIP, is that he gave a lot of hard contact in his first start back, but it is his first start back. And at least he wasn't too wild by that, as I said, by that ball percent, which was only 31%, which is pretty elite. And then just looking back at his 2024, to get listeners an idea of what he did in his last time in the majors, he He had a 4.14 ERA that year. Estimators were around four. His K minus walk in 2024 was 18.5%. So that's still really, really good. The swing strike rate that year was 14%. So that's pretty elite. So he definitely showed some flashes when he was back up. Just a matter of how much of that will stick around now that he's recovering from his surgery and just trying to get used to throwing again. So the skills are there. And I think he, I don't, let me look at Waxman's report. He may have been, yeah. So Jared Jones, this week was the most on average. And then he is now third by total dollars spent in both the OC, well, that was the AC actually. So in the main event year to date, Jared Jones has the third most money allocated to him in FAB, which I think he's deserving of. And had he been available in more every league, he would have been number one, which I think is also probably the way things should have turned out. But the only thing that I'll say is that he's still relatively unproven, Jones, and he has a pretty tough schedule. Not that, I don't know, people were debating sitting him and starting him already. I heard on some other pods, Jones gets the Astros, so they're not the toughest matchup right now this week. But then next week he gets the Dodgers. The week after that, he's in Sacramento and Colorado. So the second and third weeks, everyone who added Jones is going to have some uneasy matchups if it sticks with him facing the Dodgers and then in Sacramento and in Coors. So that's like the only caution, but it shouldn't really affect the bidding on him. It just might be rough at first.
Yeah, the Houston start, not worried about. The other ones, we'll wait and see. But I think when it comes to adding Jared Jones, and the reason why people spent so much is this is a long-term play. So even if you have to sit him for 2 weeks, like you plan on using this guy more often than not throughout the season. And that's the beauty of Jared Jones, because the skills are very, very good. But like you mentioned, we've seen injuries. We haven't seen a full Jared Jones yet. And we still might not this year. But for the other options that are on the wire that could be coming, he's one of the last really good options to come down the pipeline. And that made sense to go ahead and break the bank with Jones. I remember it was a few weeks ago on this show. It was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. People are starting to speculate on Jones, I think, in the main event, and they were adding for like over $100. And we were both just like, wow, that's aggressive. And we were kind of wondering what was going on. And, you know, it still might have been aggressive at the time, but looking back, okay, you got a deal. You got a deal with what took place there. And that's why, like, in the Discord today, a lot of people are talking like Shane Bieber. Like last week, we talked Blake Snell, like stashing wise. And they're all different stories. Like Jared Jones was only stashed for a few weeks. Snell's like another month and a half, 2 months. You got Bieber, who's probably at least another month. Like, it just all depends on what your team can take and what your expectations are, I guess. But for now, Jones is popular, and we'll see where things go in the coming weeks to see if it was a good, bad, or how bad it was. Curtis Meade was the second most added player in the NFBC Online Championships. He was picked up in 193 leagues, as high as 163, as low as a dollar, average of 25. Meade was picked up in 34 main events, as high as 147, as low as $22, average of 44. His 75th percentile was 51. So pretty reasonable bids, all things considered. Like in OC's 75th percentile was 33. So not horrible. In the month of May, Meade's hitting 261 with four homers and a steal, nearly 18% walk rate, which is great. Like over the last week to week and a half, he's got four home runs, all four of those in the last week and a half or so. So really coming on strong, playing every day with Brady House out of the way. Like since Meade took over the third base role after House left on the May 20th, it's 263 with four homers. Very, very nice run. We just haven't seen Meade do this ever. So it's really tough to buy into. Like most of the prices I don't mind, Ben. I think they're fine. The really, really aggressive ones I would never have come close on.
Of course not. I think we're always a wave. We're always not too supportive of those extreme bids more often than not. And yeah, Meade went from being a short side platoon bat for the Nationals to now being an everyday player. And as you were discussing his situation, I looked up his splits, and he's actually hitting better versus righties this year, Meade, which is surprising for me to see. And he's also 25, and this is his fourth year. He feels like he has been around forever almost, it feels like, and he's still not quite reaching his prime yet. And the numbers year-to-date are pretty good. He has almost as many walks as strikeouts. That's awesome. That's not good. Well, for fantasy, helps with like scoring runs and stuff like that, but it's good for a real-life perspective as well. And his Statcast is pretty red. So I I think this must have been more of a situation where I wasn't looking for first base help or corner in any leagues this week. And I have some utils tied up with like Yordan, Eldridge. So just Mead wasn't really someone I was targeting, but I think the skills look pretty good. And the Nationals are scoring a ton of runs. You keep hearing podcasts mention that, how crazy it may seem. But I think that's just the way the stats are shaping out to be this year. And he's hitting third for them now, Mead, every day, like I said. And I think he's kind of got to ride with this one and see what happens. Mead, he was a decent prospect for the Rays, I think. And then House has had a shot. He got sent back down. So I don't think there's really an imminent chance that Mead will lose his job again to House or somebody else. So I think for now he's relatively safe. And really the only thing I could nitpick at is the average is kind of low, but 242 won't kill you either. That's his year-to-date average. So, yeah, I think Mead's makes sense that he's one of the top ads in the OCs.
Yeah, he was on my waterfalls. Again, I need as much hitting. If I needed hitting, it was mainly in outfielders this week, which there's plenty to stream in that department. But if I did need corner infield help, he was there with like the Oswald Peraza's and, Dominic Smith's and others. There's a Spencer Horwitz I actually got more of than me. There were options out there, but yeah, I have nothing against me, especially that offense. He's like you mentioned. I just want to see it. I want to see it more of like for those big bids, the 33s and below. Yeah, it's fine. Go for it. Go get your guy. Have some fun. See where it goes. But man, sometimes things get a bit crazy. All right, back to the pitching front for the next handful of options here. Troy Melton of the Detroit Tigers has picked up an 177 online championships, average of $41, high of 155, low of a dollar. He's picked up in 58 of 60 main events, as high as 250, as low as $22, average of 79. He was the next man up after Jared Jones and a lot of these fab pickups this week. Melton's made two starts since coming off the IL, Ben, 12 and two-thirds innings, two runs, four walks, and four Ks. I wrote up that exact stat line in my fab column this week, and when I got to the four walks and four Ks, I started to have to think some more, and I started looking at his profile more, and I'm like, huh, stop. The results are good. The fantasy results, I'm going to leave it there because you have more to talk about with that, but let's just say he hasn't dominated through two starts the way I'd want my fantasy pitchers to dominate.
Right. Yeah. The 4-4K to walk was would have been the crux of my argument as well against going too crazy on Troy Melton. And we mentioned the low K numbers, and that's tied to a 7.7% swing strike rate. So it's not like he's getting unlucky with this case. He's just not missing bats at all, Melton. And I pulled up, so I have the 4-week lookout on RotoWire's starters grid, and there is a time where they project Melton to be out of the rotation for the Tigers, and that would be once Verlander, hopefully, and for I don't know whose sake, gets back, but there could be a little bit of a roster crunch, and that's also so that third week from now, they have School back and Verlander back, and even Mize back, so kind of some optimism there, but there is a chance that Melton isn't around for long. The other guy he could take away the role from is Keider Montero. I think Montero, he's pitched pretty well in terms of major league contribution. Montero, I know Melton's the bigger prospect, but they probably have similar issues missing bats right now. So I guess these next couple starts would be big for Melton to see if he can stick around in the rotation when everybody gets back, who should be coming back in the next couple of weeks for the Tigers. And I think I definitely had bids in for Melton, definitely well behind what Jones went for, kind of like how the average bids were for the main event in the OC. I think I was closer to the OC average of 41 than I was the main event average of 79 on Melton. And that 40 range was even below the 25th percentile in the main event. So that's why I didn't get Melton anywhere. And I didn't want to go off the prospect name because he wasn't showing the skills in the majors, like we said, with the low K written numbers. So I got shut out on Melton, and I wasn't really too upset about it. I did get the guy we're going to talk about next, potentially. Yeah, I think. And I'm fine with that instead, just for a cheaper option and someone who probably has a little more staying power considering his team's situation.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The overall stuff that we've seen, I'm with you on. The upcoming potential to be out of the rotation from spending money was a concern. good friend of ours, Jason Santu, Tigers fan. He had a couple tweets this past week about Troy Melton warning everybody. And when he mentioned that, it also made me kind of look at things a little differently with Troy Melton. I think he's a very good pitcher. I think he's worthy of being added for sure. I'm with you. I had him priced like around, we're going to talk about him, like the Sandlins, even Madden's. Madden, I wanted more than Melton, to be totally honest. But I had them all priced down so much at the same time. Because once Jones was gone, and we're going to talk about Gage jump in a minute, those are my top two for the week. And get, you know, right or wrong, who knows? But I had Melton much farther down with the Sandlins and Maddens of the world. Maybe he proves us wrong, but at this point of the year, I need strikeouts more than, you know, ratios. You could still help your ratios, but I need the Ks. I need some guys that can stick in the rotation if I'm going to pitch for, if I'm going to spend the money for them. And that was not a real strong given at this point in time. All right, the next most added player in the online championships, jump around, everybody. Gage jump picked up in 171 OCs, as high as 99, as low as a buck, average of 21. I overshot that one, folks. I'm in the upper tier of those bids. He was added in all 60 main events. Gage jump was as high as 161, as low as $5, average of 58. Jump made his debut last week. 5 innings, 4 earned, 1 walk, 5 Ks in Sacramento against the Mariners. It was really one bad inning early, and then he got his stuff together. Like I keep saying, maybe it's just first start adrenaline, who knows, but like the 3-ish innings, he looked really, really composed and looked good out there. Gave me optimism for Gage jump, not to mention a really good minor league guy. I know you're going to throw some shade a certain way on this, and I'll let you have your floor here. But I loved the option to get Gage jump this week. Innings should be good enough for at least the next couple months. We'll see. And the A's rotation is an absolute dumpster fire. So there's like opposite of Melton, unless jump just completely implodes, he should be sticking around for a while. So that was my thought there as well. What were your thoughts on Gage jump?
A lot of the same, Bubba. So this is what I was alluding to when we were talking about Troy Melton a minute ago. I got Gage jump instead, I think, in just one league, but it's a very, very important league. So I'm happy with that. Career minor league numbers for Gage jump, 358 ERA, a 119 whip, and that'll play. He has 187 strikeouts in the minors versus 150 innings. If you round up 151, so that's a really good ratio as well. He showed some walk issues this year in AAA. It is the PCL, though. He had a high ERA, high whip, but he had 56 Ks in 38 innings. So I think the A's are just seeing, okay, he's getting swings and misses. They probably know how the PCL plays, and that's what they called him up. So I'm not going to fault jump for those poor minor league numbers since I was trying to add him in several leagues. And, yeah, you mentioned how much of a dumpster fire the A's rotation is on roster resource. They have Springs, Jin, Jacob Lopez, and Jump. And Lopez got sent down already.
Yeah, like I said,
so they're down to three. Kind of like the Tigers are. Or no, not the Tigers. There was another team that's like down to three we were talking about earlier. I forget who it was. Oh, it's the Marlins. Yeah, so the Marlins and Tigers are three-man rotations right now. So they have some issues. If you go to like RotoWire, they have – yeah, they have two guys I never heard of pitching later in the week, projected wise, and so yeah. So because of, and also on top of that, we mentioned schedule for Jared Jones. At least jumps on the road to start, and he gets a two-start week this week versus the Cubs and the Astros. I kind of mentioned with Jones, the Astros haven't been that good lately, and the Cubs actually have been really bad versus lefties. So hopefully that sticks, and hopefully the wind's blowing in because he's in Wrigley tomorrow on Tuesday. So yeah, I think the strikeout upside is definitely there for jump. Got to be careful when he's in Sacramento, but if he's at least good, and that's always what you're hoping for when you add someone, you can't really say, okay, well, if he's bad, he's going to get sent down. Of course, that's what we're risking. So as long as he pitches well, he shouldn't get pushed for anyone coming back to the A's rotation. And I figured he's worth a gamble, a cheaper gamble, definitely than the other, that at least compared to Troy Melton, for sure.
Yes, full agree on all aspects of what you just mentioned there. But, I'm hoping he sticks, and I hope we see the good and the bad. And similar to what we talked about, Jones's schedule and everything coming up, hopefully these ads this time of year don't need to pitch every day for you. Let's put it that way. Like, you want them to pitch more often than not, but hopefully you can kind of mix and match the quality of the schedules upcoming and have enough depth on your team to do it. And that's why there's kind of the old ad is just – I talked about it with Gills last week, and we talked about it in the offseason before, Ben. It's – like there's roster construction and then there's end season roster construction where you can have six pitchers if you need to, Like, just do what you got to do to kind of better your team for whatever your team needs are. And if you have five pitchers, you could rotate the good, the bad, the ugly, and sit some of these guys and see where things go from there. All right, David Sandlin, not Nick Sandlin. David Sandlin of the Chicago White Sox has picked up an 147 online championships, as high as 103, as low as a buck, average of 23. Sandlin was picked up in all 60 main events, as high as 144, as low as a dollar, average of 39 for David Sandlin. He made his debut last week, Ben, six innings, one run, no walks, four Ks. Super efficient, what you're going to hear from everybody. I was surprised he went six innings, just because if you look at his minor league numbers, he hasn't gone deep into many games. So that was kind of a deterrent for me. But at the same time, they got to start stretching him out eventually, right? You can't call a guy up just to go three or four innings every time without an opener. So I was interested in Sandlin again. Not breaking the bank, but I was interested. What about you?
Yes, I had him behind Melton and Gage Jump in my bid list. And, of course, Jared Jones, where he was available. But, yeah, someone mentioned, I forget what pod it was, but in that start, it may have been CBS because they cover everything all the time. I think Sandlin had like 60 pitches in those six innings. So extremely efficient. He only allowed one base runner. And you mentioned in the minors, he hasn't really been stretched out. He had six starts. He had 16 innings so far this year. That's less than three per start. If you can't do math, anyone, that's bad. And I didn't want to tie a lot of fab to someone like that. If I go look at the upcoming projected starters for the White Sox, yeah, of course we have the two set this week for Sandlin. That makes them really appealing. But then they have potentially Noah Schultz coming back next week, and if not, Sandlin's facing the Dodgers. And I think Schultz will probably get a chance to go back into the rotation. He doesn't really deserve it, but he's a top prospect for the White Sox, and Sandlin has some stretching out to do. So it could be a couple abbreviated starts this week, despite it being a two-step, which everyone always craves. So I was a little out on bidding too much for him, and his whips are – he doesn't have quite the strikeouts that Gage Jump has in his minor league career, Sandlin. Definitely more a history of higher whips. So the minor league numbers aren't nearly as good either for Sandlin. So there's a lot of reasons why I had him closer to like $10, I think, in my bids. And so I was way off on the 39 average in the mains. I was not too aggressive at all for Sandlin.
Yeah, he was in the low teens for me. Discussed, got him for $12 in the AC, where I just need a pulse at pitching with some upside. That's what Sandlin is to me. Just side note, it's interesting, the Crochet deal. You got Teal, Sandlin. There's been a few others. It's been a nice little haul for the White Sox in that deal, already all making impacts across. I think Mydroth was a part of that. It's been a nice little move for the Boston Red Sox. But yeah, Sandlin, I'm interested. They just got to make a point to either stretch him out or use an opener. Otherwise, what are we doing here in this rotation setup? All right, next up here, Clayton Beter at an 107 OCs, as high as 120, as low as a dollar. Beter returned from the IL. He was a popular fab target last week in Ben, but some were still concerned with the love ladies, with the Gus Buses of the world. And what would Beter, how would Beter come a part of this whole scenario here with the Nationals? Well, it took a couple outings, but Beter gets the saves over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. That had to elevate things just a bit, Ben. Beter is at an 107 online championships, again, as high as 120, as low as a buck, average of $25. He was added in 14 main events because he was widely rostered. He was picked up in 85, or as high as 85, as low as 11, average of 48 for Clayton Beter. What are your thoughts on Clayton Beter? Because I don't think his skills are that great, but he's getting the saves right now.
Yeah, this one feels really good, Bubba. I don't know if you recall, but I added him on two main events last week for $12, and I got the saves this week on those two main events. So that one felt good, getting it right ahead of time. Hopefully it sticks. Like you said, Closer Monkey has Beter at the head of the committee for they call it fluid as the situation. So it's probably kind of like a committee for the Nationals right now, but Roster Resource has Beter as the closer for the Nationals. So it seems like he is the guy now. I think they've been using Gus Varland and Lovelady as like the firemen for lefties and righties. And that's going to leave Beter as the closer for now, hopefully. Yeah, the K numbers are down compared to last year, and the walks are way up. But I don't know. It's what we've got right now, and definitely a very low BABIP for Beater, definitely high left on base, so it could get ugly quickly. But he has time to correct that small sample. Poor luck. Fortunate. He can improve on the walks and the Ks, and while the BABIP and the left on base correct, hopefully it's not that bad of a regression for Beater. But yeah, for now he's the guy, it seems like, and hopefully he sticks for a while, and it's not too damaging to ratios. At least his xERA is 3.79, despite the FIP and the xFIP being closer to 5. So maybe he's suppressing a lot of hard contact, or he's keeping the ball on the ground, it looks like, because yeah, his average launch angle against is 1.3 degrees. So it's basically facing Fernando Tatis every at-bat.
well played. Well
thank you. Played. Yeah, so some optimism for him at least there with the ground ball rate.
Yeah, it's like Beater's a really good, you know, RP3, not a bad RP2 is the way I would look at Clayton Beater, because there's going to be weeks where those ratios were going to come back to haunt, but there's going to be weeks where he's going to get 2-3 saves. Like, he got you 2 over the weekend. And the Nats are scoring a ton of runs, so they might be in more games than we think, if that makes sense to the whole situation here. So, yeah, I don't mind the move at all. I had some bids in for Beater if I needed a third reliever, basically, or something that's really gone bad in the closing situation. I'm just well aware that I'm getting him strictly for saves and praying he doesn't blow up everything else. That's the goal with Clayton Beater. All right, let's get back to the bats here. Cody Clemens adding 104 online championships. As you can also tell here, folks, is we say 104 online championships. That means that he's either riding the West roster or still available. Like, things are slowly decreasing around these parts. So 104 online championships for Cody Clemens. High of 31, low of a dollar, average of 8, so not a lot of heavy spending there. He was actually dropped in 4 online championships, if that does anything for you. And he was already fully rostered in main events. I believe we talked about him last week, if I remember correctly. Cody Clemens this last week, if you rostered him, he picked up he hit safely in 4 of 6 games, couple home runs. He's a streaky hitter. We've talked about it time and time again, Ben, with Cody Clemens. And when you have righty-heavy weeks, he somewhat comes into play, and the Twins face 6 righties in 7 games this week. So there's a reason, again, I'll sound like a broken record. At the end of every show, we focus on the most added in the main events that we did not talk about. Clemens was on that last week, I'm pretty sure, Ben, and here we go again. So what are your thoughts on Cody Clemens?
Yeah, there's a good chance, because I was looking at my leagues to see when he was added last, and the most recent one was week 9, and that was 2 weeks ago, and that was 1 main event, and he was added in weeks 5, 6, and 7 before that. So he's been going a while in 15s for sure, Clemens. I pulled up his Statcast. He has some career highs this year. Career high barrel rate of 14%. Career high average exit velocity of 92.2. His XBA is 236. So kind of in line with what he's giving you so far this year, which is a 233 average. The XWOBA bacon is pretty high. XWOBA is 324. So that's okay. Nothing too great. But yeah, you mentioned the platooning, or at least the schedule for the Twins this week. And he has pretty good eligibility as well. So I'm not surprised to see Clemens getting streamed in the OCs. And looking at his week-to-week numbers, I see where the value is definitely there in the 15s. I don't know if you'd want to hold on to Clemens after this week. If he does really well, maybe you do, to see if it sticks. But he's got to make sure that there's enough varieties in the schedule for him to play, because let me pull up the tracker just to be sure of this. Where is Clemens? He is actually he started versus the last 4 lefties that the Twins have faced. Just lower in the lineup relatively to when he hits versus righties. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe just if he has a good week, Clemens, hold on to him in OC, see if it sticks. But he's definitely someone that you don't have to be tied to very long.
Yeah, I wouldn't be tied. He's very, very streaky. Good, bad, both. And there right now, he said he's playing, but eventually that might go back to a platoon. There's been so many injuries with Minnesota that I think they just want warm bodies. And weirdly enough, like, Clemens hits in the middle of the order, so that gives him a little boost as well. It's not a team that scores a lot of runs, but he's been a part of it, at least him, like Brooks Lee. They had a little momentum, but overall, Buxton's doing his thing, but it's a bad baseball team. Spencer Horwitz, mentioned him earlier. He was one of my top corner infield targets this week. He picked up an 101 OCs. As high as $38 for one Spencer Horwitz, as low as a buck average of 12 for
All right, sweet. Thanks, guys. Yep. So we're waiting on Bubba. We'll see if he can figure out what happened. The connection issues, and he's back in the room.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Perfect.
Yeah, weird. No idea what I didn't even touch buttons, went out and came back. All right, Spencer Horwitz. Where
was he? Again.
he was added in 101 OCs, as high as 38, as low as a dollar, average of $12 for Spencer Horwitz. Added in two main events for 50 and 66 because he was widely rostered in previous weeks. It's because the Pirates have been facing a ton of right-handed pitching, Ben. This week, the Pirates have five righties and six starts, it looks like. And Horwitz sitting 289, seven homers. Plate discipline's great. Leading off for the Pirates. Like, yeah, you run with this one and run with it as long as he's producing, at least in my mind. I thought he was a really strong pickup while the schedule looks this good.
Yeah, and same thing with Cody Clemens. Horwitz has been – he started versus the last two lefties the Pirates faced. Nice. And as with Clemens, he was lower in the lineup, but he's still starting, and that's really going to help with the plate appearances and some runs and RBIs. And one of the good things about Horwitz is that he's a very good average asset. He's hitting 289 on the year, which is definitely hard to find nowadays and probably even harder for a first baseman. A lot of sluggers out there at first base. And, so the Pirates have five this week and then five righties, that is. And then maybe next week we might see drops in for Horwitz because he's lined up to face Eric Lauer, Robleski, and potentially Braxton Garrett if he's back. We mentioned that, just you and I, but the Marlins kind of have to make a decision with their rotation, and Braxton Garrett should be back up because they really have nobody left. So just be careful of starting Horwitz next week, regardless of your format, because he could be sitting. But like, if it sticks how he's been playing lately, like I mentioned, he's played the last two games versus lefties. He could really stick, and that average could be very helpful down the stretch. And there's still some power too. He's more like a 20 homer bat, I think, which definitely plays a lot better in a 15. So I think he's definitely more of a streamer in the 12s. And if he does get dropped next week, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah, he's definitely a streamer in 12s. He's locked into 15s for now, but as long as he's swinging it this way, it'll be like he's done this in the past. You mentioned, he's a 20 home run type bat. It's just always been injuries that seem to derail Spencer Horwitz. Like, he was a Blue Jay, then he goes to Toronto. We're all excited. Then he broke his hand or something late in the spring, and we missed him for a while. It's just been a roller coaster for him. But right now he's healthy. He's producing. Life is good. Next most added in the online championships. This one, things get a little interesting. Kyle Finnegan picked up in 97 online championships, as high as 47, as low as a dollar, average of $16. 30 main events picked up Kyle Finnegan, as high as 121, as low as 9, average of 37. So some shekels getting spent on Kyle Finnegan, who it has not been great. Yeah, the 203 ERA is fine, Ben, but another hat tip to good old Jason Santu. He tweeted this out over the weekend. Kyle Finnegan has a minus 3.5% K to walk, Ben. That is absolutely dreadful for any potential closer out there. I didn't put any Kyle Finnegan shots in there. If I wanted any piece of Detroit, I said, screw it. I'll take high leverage Drew Anderson for a few bucks, see where it goes. If I want anything, I wanted nothing to do with Kyle Finnegan. I don't care if he gets the saves. It's that bad when he takes them. It feels like I'm watching Jordan Romano 2.0 when he's out there. So what's your thoughts when you saw these Kyle Finnegan numbers? Because, again, I know saves are desperate, but it's like we just talked about Clayton Beter. Go spend $30 more and get Beter instead of Kyle Finnegan or whatever it takes in that. It's just a joke, but I'd rather have Beter. So where are you at on Finnegan?
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't have that freedom, Bubba, of picking and choosing because I mentioned to you I lost Kenley Jensen in the main event. I did check for Drew Anderson. He was unavailable.
Finnegan, didn't he?
Yeah, so I got Finnegan to replace Kenley.
Sorry.
Yeah. And also, ironically, I already have Clayton Beter in that main event. So now I have Beter and Finnegan. If for more context, listeners, I also have Emilio Pagan. So I have Pagan and Jansen on the IL who I'm holding on to. So I'm rolling with Beter and Finnegan now. And
you're holding both of them though, right? Is that you said?
Yeah. And I have Scooble on the bench too. So it's getting tight for that league. I had a drop Braxton Garrett, and we'll mention that he was my drop for Finnegan. But just a little strategy talk real quick. So I was debating dropping Beter if I didn't get Finnegan because I would have like soft punted closer and just hopefully waited for Pagan and Kenley to come back. And I have really a pitching in this league, knock on wood, and and that's even without school right now. But I was able to get Finnegan, and also the beater saves on the weekend kind of changed my thinking about being more willing to drop him, because I just want to get some saves while I stay afloat and not fall too far behind in the category. But yeah, I knew, I was aware of the negative K minus walk, but Will Vess has been at least results bad, and I think these teams sometimes don't care about the underlying skills if the guys get the job done. And then even when Finnegan had to get pulled in the last start, I think Drew Anderson blew it as well. So Finnegan has the experience of being a closer. He pitched as the closer over Will Vess last year when he for a little bit that things got shaky out because I had Will Vess on some teams. I got annoyed by that. So I think Finnegan will kind of get the chance to right the ship, but I am not. I just hope that it's not too bad. Kind of like we said with Clayton Beater, it could get really ugly quickly for Finnegan. I just hope that Kelly gets back quickly.
First off, apologies for slamming your pick, but
it's all good, Bubba. It's like, free game.
In Ben's content, I guess it's where it does make sense to go for him. It's like, he just got smashed with his two top closers are both on the IL now. So it's like, and then Ben gave you the context. If he didn't win Finnegan, Beater was gone next week, essentially. It was either get Finnegan now and attempt to have two closers or one and a half closers or however it pans out.
Yeah.
Or just drop the whole thing until the boys come back. So that's why everyone hates the answer when people ask questions for shows and discoursing. It's a team by team basis. Well, that is a team by team basis. Like, that is an example. Like, Ben's not doing that on a team where he has, you know, one or two other closers type thing. So it definitely takes things in a different
context. It's very specific. You really got to think about your situation.
Yeah, I guess I'm fortunate I haven't had to think of that situation, and I just say screw it and roll on with it. I did a lot of Finnegan last year, so maybe I'm just spiteful on that whole thing as well. But yeah, it's going to be messy, and not to mention they're not winning games in Detroit, which is not great either. All right, next one up here is Dustin May, and I've done a full 360 on Dustin May in recent weeks. I've written about him. I've mentioned him to Bloomfield on the Fab preview. He laughs at me like usual, not because of me just being dumb, because I mentioned Dustin May, which maybe he thinks is dumb, but who knows. But Dustin May was picked up in 83 OCs this past week, as high as 65, as low as a buck, average of 17. Dustin May was picked up in two main events. He was widely rostered, but $43, $53. To me, reasonable prices, honestly, for a guy that – the reason I like Dustin May, and we will talk about this. I just want to see one more thing. Dustin May was dropped in two OCs. That was what I was looking for there. Dustin May is boring. I get it. But right now, last start against Milwaukee, 7 innings, 1 earned 9 Ks. Against Pittsburgh, 5 1/3. The 4 earned, but 7 Ks. He's had 7 or more Ks in 3 out of 4 starts. It's been 3 earned runs or less in 8 of his last 9 starts. He's looked really good. Walks are a little bit of a problem. Not good to deny that. But it's one of those kind of like maybe a better 15-team profile, but there's a little bit of 12-team upside if that checks out. And for anybody that was like maybe, you know, excited about Dustin May, you look at his upcoming schedule, and you got Texas this week, which doesn't scare you. You got the Mets and Minnesota two-step next week, which is outstanding. So at least his next 3 starts are super fantasy relevant. What were your thoughts on Dustin May, who, again, pretty much gone wherever you play?
Yeah, I did check the ads while you were talking. He's only available in 2 main events, May, and he went for average about $48, so which is a decent – that's kind of like the other rookies you were talking about earlier. Yeah, I've written off Dustin May for my life. I remember going into the season, I want nothing to do with him. And year-to-date numbers aren't very good either. But in your defense, Bubba, because his year-to-date whip is 130, his year-to-date ERA is 4.57. But over the last 3 weeks, Dustin May actually has some pretty good underlying numbers. A 13% swing strike rate, which is probably his career high for any period in his career, because he has never had a high swing strike rate as long as I can remember, despite having electric stuff. The K minus walk is 17%, which is actually pretty good for him for sure. The xERA is 2.34. These are all last 3 weeks stats, if I didn't say that already. So of late, he's been really good, Dustin May. It's kind of weird. He has the low BABIP with the low left on base combo. So he's not allowing runners, but the ones that are on are scoring at a higher rate than they typically should. So that luck's kind of evening out for him. Yeah, and well, the other thing, though, too, is that he only has 3 wins in 11 games, and the last 3 wins came in weeks 3, 4, and 5. So it's been a long time since May's got a win, and that does matter. And he's on a – the Cardinals have been better than I would have expected, but they're probably going to fade at some point. And so was it a good matchup this week?
He's got Texas this week and then the Mets and Minnesota next week. It's a good stretch.
Yeah, it's not a bad little stretch there. So I could see that. But like I said with the other guys too, like Spencer Horwitz, just be ready to cut May, especially in the OCs, because he doesn't have the upside and it seems like a short-term play until – I don't know. And then he has the Royals the third week, which they're either. Not too scary either. So I don't know. Maybe he's six for a little bit, but very easily could get blown up, I think. But yep, I don't know.
Definitely can get blown up. I'm not going to deny that. But I feel like he's kind of in that Flaherty range, Nola range, and – I think you might have a little more upside than them, but you're going to have those good starts with some bads, and you just got to kind of hope you pick the right ones out of all of them. And sometimes it's just not great having on a roster right now, but like Connor Prelip was a guy that I've been looking, I started dropping this week because he's starting to, like, there's a handful of guys that are falling into that range right now, which is not great.
And May's only 28 still, which is kind of surprising to me.
Super young. Yeah, super young. I do want to ask you, though, because you kind of mentioned it there, like you were talking about his full season stats, and you went and brought it down to the 3 weeks like we were talking about. And before the show, we were kind of talking how I like to play like week to week or like a couple weeks at a time type things. I'm churning a lot. And in 15s, it's a little trickier. In 12s, you should be like really moving your roster around a lot and maximizing what you can do. When you're looking at a profile on whatever website you're on, Fangraphs, StatCast, whatever, as the season goes along, how short do you start looking to like make your decisions, I guess, because you can't really the full season doesn't tell the whole story, I guess, anymore, is what I'm trying to say, for what you want right now. So what are you focusing on as this season goes along?
I've kind of fallen to the 3 week period. I think it's like a good mix of like three or four starts maybe potentially, and you always hear people talk about reacting to changes in pitching because things can change very quickly. So I like to see just how guys have been doing lately. And I don't know, like when we get to the streaming stuff later in the year, probably, and I'm not sure what I'll do for look back range, but I've switched between like 2 and 4 for certain things. And now I've been at 3 for my team performances and also my pitcher performances in particular. So I don't know. It's just a little bit of like a little, I don't know. It's very arbitrary, Bubba, but I think that I do like look at both. So like I did reference May's full year long stats, see like how he's been as a whole. And then, okay, maybe he's been a little bit better now, but I don't know. Like there were some luck factors involved there. I mentioned, so and the hard hit's still high, for example, on May in the last 3 weeks, despite the XERA being very good. So it's just, it's not an easy answer. I don't think and also it could be a fault. Cause I do look at this stuff when I decide like the short-term stats when I do my sit and starts in my big league, so that doesn't always work out either. So it's, I don't know, it's hard to predict off a small sample, but even in season it's hard to tell how guys are going to do going forward because so much can change.
I should have known 3 weeks for you, because that's like you said, when we do the schedule stuff at the end, it's always the next three weeks, so that does check out. But yeah, I kind of keep it into a 2 to 4 weeks, I think, as we start moving along here to really get a feel for what's going on. And obviously you hope they've had a longer season, but they're probably on the waiver wire if they had a more productive long season. So it goes through my brain as well. Next up, G-Rod. Grayson Rodriguez picked up in 73 OCs, as high as 69, as low as a dollar average of 18. He was picked up in 3 main events, $71 max, 26 low, 43 average for Grayson Rodriguez. Grayson was also dropped in 6 online championships, which is always great. He coming off his best start, 5 innings, 1 run, 2 walks, 5 Ks in Detroit. He's struck out 5 in back-to-back starts. He's also allowed 12 runs in 14 and a third innings, which is not great. G-Rod's upcoming schedule, Ben, consists of the Road Rockies this week, which is very tantalizing. Next week, he has a 2-step at home against Houston and Tampa Bay. Yeah, okay. And then it's at Sacramento, home versus Baltimore. Things get a little dicey again, so... What were your thoughts on Grayson Rodriguez? As we've already talked about all these pitchers that have been taken, we went to May, now we've gone G-Rod. We're kind of moving down the slum here.
Yeah, and so here's the example again of someone who's added very widely in the main event last week, and now we're seeing him in the OC. So I'll go back to those same three-week skills for Grayson Rodriguez, which are his year-long skills. 7.9% swing strike rate, a 9.2% K minus walk, an xERA of 5.87, xFIPs and Sierra around 4.7. His hard hit allowed is over 51 miles per hour on average, or 51% on average, excuse me. And the high BABIP, low left on base, so he has some poor luck against him, but he's getting hit very hard. He's not missing bats. He's walking too many guys. Granted, his last start was his best start. Only two walks in those five innings. You know, only two walks the one before that, but I still need to see some more from Grayson before I would trust him. And you did mention the great matchup this week. It's probably more of a stream versus the Rockies. And as someone who used to roster Mitch Keller, I know that's not always the easiest of matchups because anyone who's bad can get blown up. So I, like with the other guys, we're talking about 12s now, I would be willing to cut Grayson after this week, potentially, especially if it doesn't go well versus the Rockies. So the skills aren't there yet, and it took a long time for him to come back from his injury, and it might just be a while before he becomes good again.
Yeah, this definitely seems like a short-term rental unless he finds lightning in a bottle. Right about now, take that road Rocky start and move on. I love your little hint there about moves coming up that used to roster Mitch Keller. That's good. A couple more 12s, and we'll head to the 15s. Colton Cowser. I was very interested to see how many people were catching up to the Colton Cowser hype. I talked about him on the Fab show on Thursday, and I wrote some notes in the Discord over the weekend. I even wrote him up in the Fab column about he's made some improvements to his swing, and things have been looking good. Colton Cowser was added in 71 online championships, as high as $50, as low as a dollar, average of 11. Colton Cowser was added in 35 main events, so people are waking up over there as well. So that means he'll be probably added everywhere else next week in OCs. But 35 main events, as high as 52, as low as $6, average of 25 for Cowser, which could be interesting. The biggest thing that's been bugging me is the playing time. It's just a mess. Like, he played versus a lefty, played versus a righty, sits a lot. It's all over the board, but the changes are real. His last 12 games, hitting .393, three homers, a steal, only striking out 22.6%, which I say only because that's an improvement. Small sample, yes. Production looks a whole lot better up there, and it might be time to see him play more, which might make him – this is a former 2020 type guy that could get some run here for another 3 months of the season. So I was very interested in Colton Cowser. Didn't get much of Colton Cowser, but very interested. What were your thoughts on Cowser this week?
There's definitely one bid list where I had at the top of my outfielder ads. I just couldn't afford a lot of money to go towards Cowser. I don't think I got him, but I was looking at adding him just to see if the hot streak sticks. It's interesting, but so he has only started three of the Orioles' last six games. Three of them were versus lefties. He actually started one of those games versus a lefty, so that means he sat versus a righty in the last 6 days. But if you look at his game log, the gaps are filled in. So he's at least pinch hitting in the games where Cowser is not starting. So that's encouraging for a platoon bat. And so really my big thing with Cowser is the K rate you mentioned, how it's improved since he's been back, or whatever the time period was you mentioned. So that's a good sign. Still pretty bad, but yeah, his stat cast is pretty ugly. The only thing that he's really got going for him is an above average barrel rate, which is 10.8%. And his walk rate is pretty good as well. So at least he's getting on base, but only one steal in 126 plate appearances this year. He had 14 and 360 last year. The XBA on the year is still 208. So if this is just a hot streak for Cowser, then he could easily be a drop. I don't know who the Orioles would have coming back that could potentially kick. Actually, I think Dylan Beavers is like one of the potential roadblocks for him. There's still Tyler O'Neill, but he's just like a lefty platoon bat, it seems like, right now. So it'd basically be Beavers, but who knows when he's going to come back from the strained oblique. So I think for now you kind of just ride the hot wave with Cowser, and he has some power and speed upside, but just got to be careful of that average and the K rate. So I think it's a solid stream.
Yep, I think it's solid, and if he gets the run, it's very, very nice. Garrett Mitchell next up here, added in 69 online championships, as high as 28, as low as a dollar. Average of $7, Ben. Garrett Mitchell was added in 12 main events, as high as 30, as low as 13, average of 22. He's back to playing every day. He had like a back or a neck issue for a little while there over the last 12 games. Mitchell's hitting .306, a couple home runs, a steal. Still striking out 34% of the time, though, Ben. Garrett Mitchell started out the year strong, hit the skids, swinging it well again. So what were your thoughts on the Mitchell ads this week?
So he's someone that I actually did get in one of my 15s. I think it was the Listener League, now that I'm looking. Great schedule this week for the Brewers. He gets wrong way, Ben. He gets six righties and a tour in Colorado. So that's a great week for Garrett Mitchell and the Brewers. Yeah, and you mentioned the K rate for him, still striking out a ton. I thought it was kind of wild. So last week, week 10, Garrett Mitchell had 19 at-bats. He struck out 10 times. And he had five hits. So he only had four at-bats where he hit the ball and got out. That's going to regress hard if that K rate sticks. He's not going to be over 50. It was basically just below 50% because he had two walks as well. So, yeah, he's never been able to kick the K rate, Mitchell, the K rate issue. That's why I was kind of off on him this year. He always gets hurt as well. Year-to-date stats, 230, only three homers, six steals. So, for me, this is purely a stream. If he happens to do well in that one league where I have him, maybe I hold on to him. But I'd be definitely looking to cut Mitchell after this week.
Yeah, I'm going to hold a little longer, but I get what you're saying. Like, he's not an auto start every week, that's for sure. But I like the skills, but I've always been a Garrett Mitchell guy as well. And the strikeout rate is the thing that terrifies me the most when it comes to Garrett Mitchell. So we'll see how that goes. But for now, so far, so good. All right, Ben, I'm going to switch to the main event here, and then we can do like an overall recap in a minute. But there's some names that we need to discuss here. We talked, Gage Jump was added in all 60 leagues. David Sandlin in all 60, talked about them. Troy Melton added in 58, big spender there. Picked up in 54 main event leagues, Ben. 54 main event leagues. Sean Manaea, max of 53, low of a buck, average of 15 in the main event. When it comes to OCs, he was picked up in 16 leagues, as high as 22, as low as a dollar, average of 8. Manaea was dropped in a main this past week, so that was pretty entertaining to me. Manaea is taking David Peterson's spot in the rotation. He's going to potentially get he's the brand role for a two-step this week in the piggyback situation there, which is big. But I don't know. Like, people are optimistic. Velocity's up, this, that, and the other. I don't have a lot of faith in Sean Manaea. It's been pretty frustrating there. And now we've lost Ben Tidd, which is great. This is a heck of an episode we got going on here. But, it's been a rough go for Sean Manaea. Like, his last few starts have been fine. He's been one and run over his last two outings, not even starts. He's piggybacking three innings on each one, three and a two-thirds, two walks, nine Ks over the last go. But as a whole, it's been really, really rough for Sean Manaea, and I am not looking to get too excited about the Sean Manaea experience here. The two-step this week is the biggest reason to have potentially added Sean Manaea. Manaea looks to be on a at Seattle, at San Diego two-step, which is pretty nice, which could be good. So that's very enticing if you were to take that chance. Two great matchups, two good ballparks to pitch in. But yeah, I am not believing in Sean Manaea whatsoever on that one. The next most added player worth discussing in the main event is Jorge Mateo of the Atlanta Braves. Jorge Mateo made quite the run of late, and that has sparked the interest in many an NFBC player. He gets primary playing time at shortstop. It helps that Ha-Sung Kim, not great at baseball, we're finding out, really not good at all, which has helped a ton as well. Mateo has really looked good. He's coming into the fab period. He hit safely in five straight games, homered in both games over the weekend, added a couple steals of late. He's hitting .316 with four homers and seven stolen bases on the season. 12.5% barrel and 48% hard hit rate for Jorge Mateo, which makes me wonder, like, did he get on the jerks? And is he sharing jerks? Is he using jerks to profile his locker in Atlanta would be my question, because this Mateo spike has been kind of out of this world when you really want to think about it. When it comes to Atlanta, they do have an interesting schedule this week. It's one lefty and five righties, but it's like Gausman, Corbin's nice. You get who knows who's going out after that one. Then you got Mitch Keller, Ashcraft, Chandler. So it's kind of a mixed bag when it comes to Mateo. But, Ben, you're back. A couple questions for you. I talked about Sean Manaea. Any thoughts on that? He was added in 53 mains or 54 mains. And then I just hit on Jorge Mateo added in 53 main events. So that's all we've done so far. Thoughts on those two?
Well, first off, sorry about the internet cutting out for me.
All good.
I did have Manaea in list, but then I remembered it's Shaw Manaea, so I kind of pulled back, I think, in some spots because I've bought him before and his skills are even worse or worse than when they than last year when we thought he was just getting unlucky. So I know there is an appealing two start this week. He's going to get the bulk of the innings versus he's actually going to follow, it looks like, Austin Warren, Adam Warren. I don't know who the A Warren is. Versus the Mariners and then against the Padres, probably. So two good matchups, but it was like less than $10 if I put bids on Manaea. And then I missed out on the Jorge Mateo. I didn't see that Ha-Seong Kim was losing playing time, which he should have been because he's been horrible. And but Mateo hasn't been that good historically either. He's good for steals, but I don't think I also really needed middle infield help this week on the hitting side. So that's probably why I didn't even pick up on the playing time increase for Mateo, just based on how I primarily look at playing time changes. And if I don't have a name written down that I hear, I kind of go off the at bats and I just didn't look at shortstops. So just missed that
Yeah.
one, which I'm fine with, but I don't know. He's nothing special. It's more like a flyer for Mateo.
Yeah, it's streaming while you can. I've got so many middle infielders. I just don't have a need for Mateo right now. As weird as that, like I literally can't play. Sort like Dansby Swanson's benched in a lot of my leagues right now. He should be. He's not playing well, but to my point, like my middle infield's pretty full at the moment, and it's tough to like. I'd have to drop Swanson for Mateo, which for the week might be good. Long term, I'd still take my chances with Dansby Swanson out of those two. Next most added in main events, been Jimmy Crooks, new catcher on the scene in St. Louis. Picked up in 46 main events, as high as 51, as low as $2. Average of 15, was picked up in 67 OCs, high of 41, low as a buck, average of 9. That'll get changed next week, I have a feeling. Crooks made his debut on Sunday, went 0 for, which is fine, but 13 homers is 262 at AAA this year. He's had a pretty good hit tool throughout the minors, Ben. And more importantly, obviously, we didn't know this when the Fab moves were made. But Jimmy Crooks is DHing on Monday night. So they're making it a point, kind of like Ivan Herrera. They're like, okay, we got this catcher that's good offensively. How can we make the most of this? Well, maybe they're just going to rotate, it seems like right now. We'll see where this goes. But Crooks was one of my favorite catching targets of the week, probably the catching target of the week. I was still not going to go spend happy with it just because of the changing landscape of catchers, but I liked the move for those that wanted them. Are you interested at all in Jimmy Crooks?
Definitely. I had him on a short list of upgrades for Luis Torrens. I didn't get Crooks in that league. I did get a replacement though. I'm trying to go through Twitter. I did see something earlier about how he's only going to catch for certain pitchers, and I think that's going to limit the playing time potentially for Crooks. But to your point, it is great that he is DHing tonight, and I kind of alluded to how I think the Cardinals are overplaying or they're outperforming what they should be doing right now. Looking at the lineup, he's a lefty, so he should at least be playing versus righties. He's sat versus the two lefties that he has faced since he's been called back up. Yeah, some of the prices were kind of wide, I think, pretty wide range on Crooks. Yeah, 2 to 51 is a big range for the main event. So I'm surprised it wasn't more interest, at least price wise, since he was a pretty good prospect. He was pretty popular in DCs, and a lot of catchers have gone down. So $15 on average in the main is a little surprising to me. I think it should be a little bit higher.
Yeah, I was surprised, really was. As wasn't I'm surprised he wasn't rostered in more leagues and the prices. But I found a tweet from John Denton, beat writer. It says, Ivan Herrera will still catch Pallante and McGreevy, which he's done all season. Crooks will get at least two starts, and then the fifth starter will be up for grabs. Pedro Plaza is now the number three option with the Cardinals. So you're gonna get at least two out of every five from Crooks, maybe more. And if he throws in a DH, that's a heck of a catcher too. That goes a long, long way in putting that situation together. All right. This one was interesting to me as well because I wasn't like all in on the Daniel Lynch movement. But Daniel Lynch was added in 40 main events, as high as 47, as low as $2, average of 16. He's averaging 54 OCs, 26 max, dollar low, average of 70. He's dropped in four OCs, dropped in one main event as well to make things even more interesting. This has strictly been a what are we doing with Ursig situation? I got to get some backup here because Estevez is still a ways away. And Lynch seems like the best option for now. He's pitched rather effectively out of the bullpen, I would say. I still think that Matt Strom's involved as well in this mix, but a lot of people were taking their chances on Daniel Lynch this week because the Ursek thing has pretty much run its course, it feels like.
Yeah, you mentioned Matt Strom. I feel like he's probably the better ad to make than Daniel Lynch. At least Strom has closed before. Lynch, not so much. Maybe, I don't know. I feel like Strom has already pitched this year, I'm assuming. Let me look at his
page. Yeah, he has.
Yeah, so I think maybe this is the timing of the IL coming up. Strom coming off the IL, people weren't really sure if he's going to be back yet. So I get that. As someone who does have Lucas Ursig, it has been ugly lately. But as far as I know, they haven't said, they being the Royals, haven't really said that he's not the closer. He's not going to lose the job anytime soon. He's had like three awful starts or outings in a row, Ursig. So it's just been everything at once lately. But kind of like Finnegan, his underlying numbers aren't that good either. So I would prefer Strom to Lynch. I don't know. But look, where's the pricing? So Lynch was $16 on average in the mains. Not horrible, but I would have just put that towards Strom instead.
Yep, I'm with you. Like, I don't mind the price. If you want to take a shot, take a shot. But yeah, I'm a Matt Strom guy on this one. We'll see how it all circles around in Kansas City. It might not mean much when they're playing the way they do. Francisco Alvarez, he's rehabbing. We had a lot of Discord questions on him, and I kept saying, yeah, stash him. Like, he's a beast. Like, as bad as catching is, stash him. He should start a rehab assignment either late this week or early next week, it seems like. He's way ahead of schedule from his knee surgery. Francisco Alvarez was added in 39 main events, as high as 33, as low as $2, average of 13. Added in 46 OCs, as high as 41, as low as a buck, average of 7. So some of those cheapies is that's pretty nice. He was still dropped in like 4 main events and 3 OCs, which is always entertaining. But strictly a stash, hitting 241, 4 homers. But he is an outstanding catcher, too, when he's back and healthy.
I fully agree. I think maybe even Jason Santu added him as his catcher, too, to take a 0.
I wouldn't mind. That was one of the Discord questions we had for sure. So, yeah, not opposed. Yeah.
And I was debating that with Goose last week before I was able to find someone with a pulse at catcher 2 in my one league. So I get it. And it's kind of crazy how he keeps beating all these timelines. Alvarez feels like whenever he gets hurt, he comes back early. So I get it. I have no issue with the way catcher has been of taking an early ad on Alvarez. I remember seeing, let me pull it up. I think it's a lot of Mets fans, ironically enough, who have added Alvarez.
With a lot of lack of runner-up bids too. That was the funny part.
Yeah, a lot of zeros, but at least a lot of them are low dollar amounts.
Stuff, not bad.
Yeah, the double digit bids, winning bids, most of them were accompanied by a $0 or a non-$0 backup. So, yeah, I think it's a decent stash. It seems like the date on the NFBC note for him is the 9th, which is I believe next Tuesday. So Alvarez could only be a week away, which is kind of impressive.
Yep, totally agree. Way ahead of schedule and very good stash right now, I think. A couple more here. Vaughn Grissom was added in 32 OCs, as high as 69, as low as $2, average of 21. He was added in 35 OCs, average of $10 there. Nolan Schanuel's on the IL for an extended period of time. Still no timeline for his ankle tendonitis and calf injury. So he's going to miss some time. Vaughn Grissom's moved to first base in this 10-year. He's hit safely in 4 straight and 5 out of his last 6 with a home run mixed into that. It's been a streaky season. He's like really hot, really cold. It's worked out to a .238 average, Ben. Hard hit rate's pretty solid, though, when it comes to Vaughn Grissom. So he feels like a 15-team guy still, first base, second base. But the playing time will be there, which has been the question with him and Peraza all season. They're both getting regular reps now.
Yeah, and Grissom's batting third, which is – you notice the Angels, it's a pretty valuable lineup spot. So you'll take that. And he was someone you're always talking up, right? Vaughn Grissom on the Fab preview shows, right?
Yep. Well, especially early on, his contacts and barrel rates, and it was just outstanding. But
yeah. So he hit .333 last week and only had 3 Ks. So, and he's only had more than 3 Ks in 1 week, and that was week 8 with 4 Ks. So Grissom has definitely been making a lot of contact. And I think that low average just seems kind of unlucky. So it's definitely a good ad. I see where he was. He was already rostered in half my leagues going into this past week, and then he was added in 2 others. So, I think it's a solid ad, especially in 15, to your point. In an OC, I think you could probably do better.
All right, let's talk about some of the big drops of the week, and then we'll do our ad drops, Ben. In the main event, Harrison Bader was dropped in 54 54 leagues with his injury, dropped him 95 OCs. Not opposed to that at all. Did you oppose to that situation?
No, I don't even know what the injury was, but I know it's a foot thing, and so Bader isn't that good anyway. So it makes sense to cut him.
This one's I cut this person pretty much everywhere I could, but we'll see if it pans out. Carmen Majinski was dropped in 43 mains and 132 OCs. He's on the restricted list because he wasn't ready to pitch after he's throwing his temper tantrum from getting taken out of the rotation. Says he'll pitch this week out of the bullpen. Time will tell. I said trade him to the Giants. We could use him. But what were you doing if you're a Majinski roster like owner? Because I had a ton of shares of him.
Or trade him to the Marlins or the other team we were talking about before. That only has three pitchers right now. I didn't have Majinski in any Fab leagues. I do have him in a handful of DCs, but he went straight to my bench. So I think even so, even in a Fab league, he'd only be getting like – so his last four starts, he had 1K, 2K, 2Ks, 1K, 2Ks. So that's 6Ks over 21 innings with 7 walks to go with it. So he'd been getting very lucky with his results. So now that he's out of the rotation, I think you just drop Majinski, and if he gets back – then you re-add him, but he doesn't justify holding or even using on the bullpen. So easy drop for me.
Agreed. Luis Severino's on the IL with a shoulder injury. We just still don't know the details of that. He was dropped in 38 main events and 62 OCs. That seems pretty appropriate, don't you think, Ben?
Yeah, it does. And he was pitching pretty poorly. I don't know why people kept adding Severino. He's been horrible. So
yeah,
I guess people got saved by the injury because they kept running him out there otherwise.
That did make things a lot easier. Spencer Miles dropped in 31 main events and 49 OCs. The two steps looked good. Then they didn't use an opener on Sunday. He got blown up. Prior to that, was pitching really well. So there's a lot of question marks to Spencer Miles, Ben. I kept him most places, but he's on my bench this week. Just combos of reasons of pitching just stinks in general. I think he's still good, but that was a weird start on Sunday. I could be totally wrong, though. What are your thoughts on the Spencer Miles drops?
I never got him, but I think it's kind of crazy to drop him after one bad start.
Yeah.
Actually, it was only his second start since he's been a thing, because he had been piggybacking. He'd been branding since then. In a 15, it's so tough to find good pitching. But the one thing, though, so you mentioned you held him.
Yeah.
He's supposed to face the Yankees next, so maybe you should just drop him.
He's on my bench. He's on my bench for now.
Yeah, he would get the Yankees next week. Hopefully Cease is back, and maybe Bieber at that point too. They even have Scherzer here for next week at least.
Yeah, he might be getting dropped now. You mentioned it. Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot. So I think versus the Orioles this upcoming Saturday would have been the last reasonable time to start Miles. So if you didn't drop him now, probably next week.
It also goes back to that conversation we've had, though, like the team-by-team dependence things, and like you might add certain players in certain leagues and not in others because of the drops you have. And with Spencer Miles, like I'm going to hold him and see what he's got unless I had a better ad, I guess, if that makes sense.
If you didn't need a spot, then there's no point in wasting the fab.
Bingo. You said it a lot more efficiently than I just did. That's kind of okay, I'll hold him instead of just like, hey, I want to get rid of him. Let's go spend $6. Like, no, let's save the $6 until I need to make the roster move type situation. Yeah. Bailey Ober, who was starting to come into form, at least some believed he was, lands on the IL, dropped in 28 main events, 123 OCs, one of the most dropped players in the online championships, Ben. I've refused to be a Bailey Ober believer this year because I've been burned so many times, and he did work for some people of late. I'll give them that. But got smacked around his last start, heads to the IL. What are your thoughts on these drops?
So I did drop him for the two-start week. I didn't start him that week because I dropped him. I just want to clarify. So going into the two-start week, I did drop Bailey Ober. But then looking at the last two starts since then, I feel better about cutting him so I didn't get sucked into the good results. But, I wonder if the lack of velocity is tied to this injury that we've been seeing from Ober, because it's been pretty low all year and easy drop.
Easy drop. A few more. Noah Schultz, who was I wanted to bring this up because we keep talking week after week about these popular pitching additions and how most of them crash and burn. Well, Noah Schultz has crashed and burned now, dropped in 23 main events and 124 OCs. Most dropped guy on the OCs behind Majinski, right before one more than Bailey Ober. It's been really rough for Noah Schultz. We were already worried about the control issues when he got added, Ben. I remember that conversation. And I watched him pitch in San Francisco, and that wasn't great. No, he pitched the next day in San Francisco, sorry. But it was 6 runs, 3 runs, 3 runs, 7 runs. Those are his last 4 starts, Ben, with 10 walks over those 4 starts. If they had other options, he's probably in AAA pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm looking at the mains. He's roughly available in half of them, I'm guessing, because he was dropped in 23 this week. He had been dropped in 2 and 4 the 2 weeks before that. So maybe someone added Schultz in those 6 leagues, but I think it makes sense to cut him because he was so bad and then he was hurt. But someone to keep an eye on when he gets back, because I think when we talked about Sandlin, it was projected that Schultz would be back within a week or two. So, and if he does come back, maybe add him for cheap and see if he turns it around, because he does have that big prospect pedigree, but definitely cut him for now.
Yep, for sure. I'm just kind of cherry picking some bigger names on the main events. Big old Joe Mack dropped in 16 mains and 54 OCs, Ben. There should be about 44 main events that should be dropping them hopefully sooner than later.
Hopefully the Marlins listen to the show too, because that'll give them a cue to send them back down to AAA and call the Goose back up.
Goose is loose. He needs to be loose in the majors. That's for sure. Not a whole lot. Like Jeff Hoffman got rage dropped, I should say, in 14 main events. He got the 2 wins and then just got nuked over the weekend. 62 OCs Jeff Hoffman was dropped in, Ben. Would you have held him just because with the status of the way the closing situation is?
Oh, man, that one, I don't really blame people for getting mad at him and dropping him after that. I heard how bad the outing was. Where's Hoffman?
It was 5 runs. It was dreadful.
Yeah, it was like, what, 5 runs or something like that?
Yep, 5 runs. It was
in a third of an inning. Oh, man. I guess cutting him after that, because I don't know if Varland got those saves in those 2 other games or not, but Varland's been so good and Hoffman's just been so bad. So I remember talking about this like a week or two ago, and I thought that there's a chance that Hoffman could get it back. Varland hasn't had a save since the 28th, which was also when Hoffman got the win.
Yep.
So I guess they gave Hoffman the shot on Saturday and didn't do well with it. So I don't really blame people for dropping him. I would definitely consider it as well, unless I'm super, super desperate and I have one closer and 2 or 3 specs. I'd maybe hold on in that case.
Yeah, it was the Hoffman Varland thing has kind of gone back and forth, wins and saves. And I was in, got the wins. I was pumped, then got blown up. Not great, Bob. Lucas Irsig was dropped in 14 mains, 46 OCs. Like, still has the job, and people are already like, get off my roster. That's really entertaining to me. Anybody else stand out to you? Law Dog, people are still kind of getting used to that. I want to ask you this one, actually. Okay. Yuri Perez was dropped in 79 OCs and 11 main events. They're saying he's going to be out around 2 months, Ben. Would you have held on to Yuri Perez in a world where guys are rostering, like I'm rostering Blake Snell? Guys are still, they've held Scooble for so long, Glass now, Bieber's, like you go down the list. People are stashing guys. Would you have held on to Yuri Perez?
If he's my one or two injured players, yes, I think I would have for now. Kind of like with the Miles comment I made, I wouldn't make the move just to waste the fab. If I didn't need a starter with Perez on my team, I would have held if I could.
All righty. With that being said, Ben, you want to look at what we did for our ad drops for the week?
Sounds good to me.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, I want to hear now that I bashed your Finnegan play, I need to hear how everything went now.
Well, it was a mixed bag. Well, I'm running out of money, like I said, so I had to be very cheap. So first up is the Listener League for you and Ryan's Patreon. So this is where I added Garrett Mitchell, dropped Marcell Ozuna. I was actually surprised. I got him 18-1. I could have saved the $16 I wasted on Mitchell, but I thought that it was a good stream, and there's some staying power. I did say Mitchell might be a cut after this week, but that's more of a 12-teamer. In a 15, he has the upside to stick around a little bit longer. And Ozuna's is trash, so I was fine with that. Someone else we didn't mention was Ty Madden, who we both had added, and then he got hit in the elbow by a comebacker. So Madden is back pitching tonight for the Tigers.
Like it.
I dropped Mike Burrows, 8-0. Burrows has just been – I haven't played Burrows in forever. He's just been horrible. And I have pretty good pitching here as well, so I figured just take the streamer and – See what happens with the injuries in Detroit. And then I also added Trevor Larnach, dropped Yohendrick Panango 2-1. So three moves there. Next up is the New Jersey main event. This one, I got Gleyber Torres. I dropped Gage Workman 16-5. Torres should be back this week. I added Ty Madden again, dropped Robert Gasser 12-3. And I got Nathan Lucas, dropped Zach McKinstry 4-1. And then I will go to the third main. I'll go to the hybrid one last. It's the main three is the one with Finnegan. So I added Kyle Finnegan, dropped Braxton Garrett 48-15. A little bit of an overspend, but I wanted to not have one closer, and I was a little desperate, so I definitely overspent. But I think relative to the other main event, I was a little bit above the 75th percentile. The average was 37 on Finnegan, so not terrible, but I just hope that the results kind of be there for him. So that was 48-15, and then I added Chad Patrick, dropped Elliot Ramos 8-3. I had to cut Ramos because I couldn't take another injured player. I'm holding Scooble, both closers, like I mentioned, Pagan and Kenley, and I just needed some bodies. So that was – I don't know if I even played Patrick this week, but I just needed someone on my bench. And then I added Wade Meckler, dropped Justin Crawford 4-0. Crawford's just been atrocious. I held him, and he's gone. And then finally, the hybrid main event two. This is going to get a little more fun. So we talked about Finnegan. I got Gage Jumpier, dropped Mitch Keller. I was only one of two leagues in the main event to drop Mitch Keller. It was 44-18. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, 44-18 jump for I like it. I don't have anything bad to say about it. I'm about to tell you some Gage jump prices that you're going to laugh at here in a minute. So
yeah, it's more about the Keller drop. I was pretty happy with the
no game. Yeah, and go on the Keller, because we talked about this via text for a while, me, you, and Ryan. Yeah. Like you were weighing heavily. I can't remember who you were. It was Keller or somebody else. I can't remember who the other option was.
It was Keller or nobody, essentially, was what I was thinking.
Well, I think you made the right move, but some people will be like, oh, Keller's a 15-team play, not a 12, which, yes, he definitely is not a 12-team play. But, like, Keller falls in that Dustin May, like, Aaron, like, that just blah basket that you can find where jump, at least on paper, might have upside. That's where my 2 cents are. But where were you at on this one?
Right. So for anyone who's in roster Mitch Keller, and thank God I sat him this week, although I played Lucas Ursig instead, and who knows? I totally get it. I don't know which one was worst, Ursig or Keller. But Keller faced the Twins. He upped 10 hits and a walk and 7 runs. So that's a 15.75 ERA and a 2.75 whip. I'm going to go into the last 3 weeks because I've been doing this lately. So last 3 weeks, Keller has a 10% K-minus walk, an 8.5% swing strike rate. Sierra XFIP are above 4. They're like 4.3. His xERA is 5.36. And then on the year, let me pull up his year-to-date stats. Mitch Keller... He's always underwhelmed, but he's gotten like decent results. His estimators besides the FIP are 4 or higher. He only has a 11% K minus walk on the year. His swing strike rate on the year is 8.9%, which is in line with his career averages. And yeah, he's good for a 15, but this team is competing for the overall, and I can't have Mitch Keller as a potential grenade on my bench because after the start, I just can't trust him now, and I just wanted him off my roster, and I think Gage Jump has the prospect upside, a little bit of the unknown. Like, we know what Mitch Keller is. We don't know what Gage Jump is. So I figured just drop Keller and not have to worry about starting him because I don't want to risk it going forward.
Yeah. Full respect on that one. Don't disagree.
Yeah. So that was my thinking, and then it gets better. Longtime listeners of the show know my hatred for Anthony Volpe, but guess who added him in the main event? This guy.
Nice.
Added Volpe, dropped Cole Young, someone who I've been defending, but I do have a lot of teams with Cole Young still. It was 24-6, a little bit of an overspend, but I think relative to the numbers, where's Volpe? He wasn't added in that many leagues. Oh, he was an average of 25, so I was right on the average for Volpe. Just that I didn't have much competition in this league. Volpe had 2 steals this past week and a home run, hit 300. And despite the playing time concerns with Caballero doing really well when Volpe was recovering from his injury, Volpe has started 5 of the last 6 games. Granted, a lot have been versus lefties, but Caballero's a righty too. And they did want Volpe back, so that's why I was hesitant to draft Caballero. I can kind of take the average hit as long as it's not terrible with Volpe, but I need a little upside in speed. That's not what Cole Young was providing me. It's kind of like a bench stream for Volpe for me. And I think and I know you've been a much bigger proponent of, and hopefully listeners will remember too, that you've been more on the upside of Volpe than I have. Mm-hmm. He's like a 2020 bat, but the average is what kills you. So I just hope the average won't be that bad. It looks like the strikeout rate is lower than it has been.
Yes, he's actually looked feasible at the plate. Just results have not all full been there.
12 Ks and 52 plate appearances. That's definitely like around 20%, which is
that's good for massive. Him. It's really good for him.
Yes, and that's probably below league average. So I figured in this main event where I'm chasing that upside at this point now, get Volpe. And then the last ad, because I've been talking a lot, is Christian Vasquez. I dropped Luis Torrens. He had a great week for me. Torrens, he hit like 300, I think. So I can't complain there. But I just like Vasquez's stability a little bit more, hopefully until Goose is back, and that was 8-1. So a little bit of an overspend, but I wanted the improvement at catcher.
No, I love it. Like the thing is, if for those that might not remember, the hybrid main, isn't that the sixth overall now?
It's sixth overall now. Yeah, my pitching took a hit the last 2 weeks, so I lost points there. But it's
great. His Ben's best main, he goes and gets Volpe. So just remember that, folks. When Ben ends up winning it all because Volpe did it, and for those in our Discord, understand that they have Volpe jerseys available and not Ben Rice. Well, maybe there's a reason for that.
I should have bought one now, I guess, when I was down there.
Now you're invested.
I have Rice and Volpe on this team though now, so I'll have to get one of each.
Oh, that's gonna be a rice parmesan. It's gonna be awesome rolling around there. And just for those that are curious, if you are, Ty Madden was added in 25 main events, as high as 39, as low as a buck, average of 11, and only added in 12 OCs. We didn't talk about it like you said, but I actually moved Madden ahead of Melton and Sandlin because I'd rather have Madden's skills, knowing it's a backup role, than the other two. So I lowered all the other bids down, and it's like, I'm going for Jones jump and then just a slog down below. And we'll get to where I got right here. So we'll start with the Vegas 12 teamer gauge jump. This, I think, was my highest gauge jump, but I said screw it because I had money and I needed him. $92 runner up 38. So that didn't go quite as planned, but yeah, Jones is already gone in this league. So I thought jump would go higher because there was no Jones. No, that didn't happen. That was my only add in that league. My Vegas AC added gauge jump, drop Richard Lovelady 74 to 54. This is another league where I'm just dreadful in pitching. Got Sandlin, $12 runner up of 12. That was the lowest AC win, and it was the perfect bid that you win because you're doing worse than somebody else. And then I picked up Wade Meckler, dropped Ildemaro Vargas. Folks, this is a trend I mentioned in the Discord. It was a great run. You served yourself well, Prince, but Vargas is gone. Like, it was a very good run, very affordable run. He moves on, got Meckler for $6, runner up of 5. So very happy with the efficiency of that one. This was the league, though, where I said I needed pitching. I was texting Ben and Ryan, and I put Garrett Jones up to 222, and I'm like, okay, I guess this is my highest I'm going to go. It's a lot of money. He went for 333 in this league with a runner up of 309. It was just a bloodbath. It was one of the highest in the entire thing, so it is what it is. Olak got gauge jump, dropped Carmen Majinski 66 to 31, grabbed Richie Palacios, dropped Vargas 6-0, grabbed Garrett Mitchell, dropped Marcus Simeon 6-5, and grabbed Jimmy Crooks, dropped Brandon Valenzuela 6-3. So pretty pumped on those bids. Bubba Bloom listener auction, picked up Drew Anderson, dropped Richard Lovelady 12-0. Garrett Mitchell dropped Vargas 7-1. Went Mangum style, dropped Mason Wynn 4-0. Wynn's been horrible. Added Tristan Peters, dropped Josh Bell 4-1. Peters is a guy that the more I dug into stuff on Sunday, Ben, he really stood out to me when I was looking at him. Just for listeners here that might be curious, because Peters is still widely available. Since May 17th, since he started playing pretty much every day in the outfield for the White Sox, he is hitting 375 with 2 home runs, striking out less than 11% of the time. Like, it's a pretty impressive run. So still, I like him more in 15s. You can stream him in 12s, but wanted to add him. And then I added, this is how much I don't want Joe Mack on my roster, Ben. And it wasn't my first choice. It was a waterfall, but I added Edgar Caro for a buck with no runner
oh,
up.
Oh, wow.
Just to get Joe. The weird thing is I wouldn't have done Caro, but he's actually swinging the bat right now. And I'm like, I don't plan on keeping him forever. Like, I plan on just rotating that position as needed. But he's hit safely in five of his last seven games, which with a home run. Hey, let's just see where it goes from here. Might drop him next week. Probably will. But I wanted Joe Mack off the roster is where that one was going. And then in my Beat Bubba OC, I got Jared Jones, drop Majinski, 132 to 65. It's kind of like what the Pirates are doing. You know, add Jones, drop Majinski. It's a pretty good thing. I added Gage Jump, drop Anthony Nunez, 33 to 5. $5 runner-up bid on Gage Jump. Man, OCs are something else. And then Oswald Peraza dropped Edelmargo Vargas, 3-0. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. So a lot of Jones in my life, a lot of Jump in my life. Got rid of Vargas. Very kind of eventful weekend, I guess, but we're moving on. I'm down to about 350 to 500 in most of my life. I still have a lot of fab left. So like I'm not hurting real bad, which is good.
Now you're doing pretty well there. Much more than me.
All right. Couple questions here. One from the YouTube here. Anthony says, Anthony K or David Sandlin, who do we prefer? Anthony K has been good of late is what I'd say, but I like the skills of Sandlin personally, but what do you say?
Yeah, if he's been he was a good stream last week. Okay, I started him in a DC and that worked out pretty well. The skills are so bad though, but Sandlin's not any good to you if he's not on the roster or he's not getting wins. So it's a tough. That's tough. In a 12, definitely Sandlin. In a 15, probably Sandlin too, but it's only temporary, I think.
Yeah, both of them are kind of temporary to me. Like, I don't expect K to be this. He's pitched well of late, but for how long will be the big question. And then Mailman Mike in the Discord says, who from this list would you buy the rest of the year? Walbert Urania, Roki Sasaki, Randy Vasquez.
Oh, that's Vasquez is last. I'm looking up Wahlberg's stats in the year. He is doing much better. The yearly walk numbers are high. I know he's getting better, though.
He's getting much
better. His, like, ground ball rate. Him and Roki are kind of the same boat. Man, I'll go Roki because of the Dodgers, but it's close. I guess I lean Roki. I don't know. What do you think? I know you're a big Wahlberg fan. I mean, so am I. I have him now.
I'm a big Wahlberg fan, but I'm going Roki. I love the moves. I got Roki in a couple leagues before the two-step, and I kept him. I think there's a lot to be said by a young guy finally figuring things out. Wahlberg's going to have a few blow-ups. I still think he's very good. So it'd be Roki, then Wahlberg for me. I actually I dropped Randy Vasquez in a bunch of 12s this week. So, like, his last two or three starts have been pretty brutal. So I'm like, okay, that the rust, the shine has worn off this bad boy, and we're moving on in 12s. So I still held on to the other two, let's put it that way. All right, any final thoughts, Ben, before we wrap up the week 11 fab?
I'll just say year-to-date now, Randy Vasquez has a 6.2 xERA, which is actually a career worst. So he is getting lucky still, it seems like.
Okay.
Yep, that's my last comment. Other than that, beautiful. It's hopefully fab spending goes down next week.
It's going to have to eventually. I don't know. Every time we say that, we leave this show and then like three injuries, two prospects. It's like a weekly occurrence right now. So we'll see how things continue to play out. But until then, thanks everybody for joining us for our week 11 fab. Technical difficulties a bit on both sides. Apologies, but it is what it is. Make sure you follow Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I'm @BDantrick. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 857. Catch y'all next time.